Hi there, listeners of the Accents podcast on WUKY. My name is Katerina Stoikova. I am the host, and this episode has been brought to you by Accents Publishing, an independent press for brilliant voices. My special guests today are Larry Pemble and Janine Triplett of the James Baker Hall Foundation. Larry is the founder and managing director, and Janine is the executive vice president of the organization. Hi, Larry and Janine. Welcome to Accents.
Well, Katarina, thank you very much for having us again. It seems like this is
Yes.
second or third time, at least on the podcast. Happy to be here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's been a busy and eventful 2025 for you. What are some of the highlights?
Well, I think we've, you know, the James Baker Hall Foundation is, our mission is to support Kentucky writers across the Commonwealth. You know, my father was a writer, teacher, educator, and tireless advocate for Kentucky art. So we're using his name to carry on that work and have our programs across the state to support Kentucky writers. And we're doing doing pretty well with that, I think. We have two ways that we two different types of programs. First is the Book Award and the Kentucky Writers on the Road, which are our statewide programs that the foundation operates directly. And then we have a series of grant programs, which provide support to our direct programs in regional areas around the state where we identify where there's already good work being done and we help those people do more of it and bring our Writers on the Road series and the general message of the James Baker Hall Foundation to supporting Kentucky writers to these regional locations. And I think we've in 2025, we've completed establishing that structure. So we have kind of a statewide structure of grant program partners and where we travel around with our book award winners and arrange events that involve not only our speaker, but local authors established. And the most important part is that we're looking for the young writers in each location. We're looking to get the word out to all young writer groups and schools and other places that are supporting young writers in Kentucky. We want to let them know what's going on and try to involve them in a more regional kind of approach to promoting writers in Kentucky. Yeah.
Well, young writers often need mentoring.
Indeed, indeed. One of the main things that we did this year was establish a grant program with Christopher McCurry here in Lexington. And part of what Christopher does is his workhorse group has a component that's called workhorse mentoring. And we've part of our grant to Chris and Workhorse involves setting up that workhorse mentoring structure so that all mentors get compensated. You know, one of the big issues in funding to the arts is the value of artistic creation, and we support that value creation. We compensate all artists who participate in James Baker Hall programs. So now the mentors at Workhorse are assured of compensation for their work, and hopefully they will come running to that opportunity, and we'll have many more mentors looking for mentees in the future, which is the benefit to the young writers, obviously. That's what they need to help them continue on their path of learning how to write better.
Janine, can you speak a bit to the geographical reach of the James Baker Hall Foundation?
Well, originally, because of Jim's history with the University of Kentucky and his life taking place in central Kentucky, that's sort of the heart of where our work started, was in the Lexington area. But and that's where most people in this region still know him. And still recognize his work, his photography, and know him as the poet laureate of the state of Kentucky. So he has a real strong community still to this day of people who've known him over time. The goal of the foundation has been to take his desire to continue to support Kentucky writers. That was very hard. That was very important to him, not just Lexington area writers, right? That's just his, that's where his start was, and that's where he stayed. But he had a passion for all Kentucky writers and felt that that's what he wanted to do, is support those individuals and to see them grow and become the writers he knew they could be. So we have, through the Kentucky Writers on the Road program that we put together, we've targeted different areas of Kentucky, Northern Kentucky. We were just in Murray. We're doing an event in Paducah the end of towards the 3rd week of October, and then even Moorhead. So we've branched out to Moorhead and Murray, Western, Eastern, and then the Hindman Settlement School, again through Eastern Kentucky and Northern. We feel it's been, and we've been strategic with that as well, trying to find the partners who we could promote and support, and then who can help share what our good work with the community as well.
I think one of the interesting things about that is that, like most situations anywhere, we get very far away from Lexington and Fayette County. Not everybody recognizes the name James Baker Hall. And so we are quick to define what we're doing by saying we're supporting Kentucky artists and we're supporting Kentucky writers. That's our mission. It doesn't really matter whether you knew James Baker Hall or not, because today what the issue is today's support and supporting, I say, supporting future great Kentucky writers by getting the young writers and emerging writers into the story and actively promoted and actively valued, which is what I think they need to see. So it's yeah, it's it, it very it was interesting to me to see the geographical limitations of the name recognition. I mean, if you want to talk about in market terms, the brand recognition of James Baker Hall extends about, maybe 50 miles outside Lexington, and then you have to have a different story. So the way we approach that is to look for people regionally who are already doing good work. I mean, there's lots of organizations in Kentucky who are supporting writers in various ways. And everywhere we've gone, there have been really strong people. And what we've said is, can we help you do more of what you're doing? Let us help you. Let us get, well, let's talk about a grant program. Let's talk about a sponsorship. Let's talk about what you're doing with young writers, and let's find ways to help you do more of that. And so that's our measure of success, is how many writers are we touching today? How many did we touch 6 months ago? And how many will we touch a year from now? I think the big hurdle that we have right at the moment is letting everyone be comfortable that we're in it for the long term. It's a very long, my dad spent a lifetime promoting the arts in Kentucky, and we want the James Baker Hall Foundation to be around a lifetime now, later, and still be doing that work, because it was Kentucky's a special place for creative writers, has been for two centuries, and continues to be today. We have an extraordinary number of, if you look at the writers today, several are national best-selling authors, world known worldwide, and continue just to produce a level of literary output that is extraordinarily high for the state. I think that's an amazing thing. We want it to continue.
Janine mentioned the word strategic, and that's what I have seen also. Strategic reach, not only geographically, but also with the organizations that are already established, and being able to leverage the good work they do, as Larry said. This is so ambitious for a young, that's the other keyword of this conversation, so for such a young organization. Doesn't it, everything come in so fast? It's incredible growth from my point of view.
It is, and we've had to, we're starting to learn to say, okay, let's stop and think. We have lots of moments of reflection of saying, like, okay, we're doing what we said we hope to do. It's like, find Robert Guyte. When we first started working with this, he was one of the first individuals Larry talked to. He said, find the individuals who are doing this work and help them do it better. and I hope I quoted him correctly. But in that vein, that has helped us be strategic and not reinvent the wheel. And but because we are starting to meet more people and see more opportunities, and there are so many opportunities to support Kentucky riders in Kentucky, which is the good news. But we have to stop and think, okay, we need to stay focused on our trajectory right now, and keep it where it is and keep growing that.
That's
So.
right. So Janine is being very, very diplomatic about something. Part of the problem that we've had is that I say yes to everything, right? And I see no limitations to the amount of good works that we could do. And that's in some ways very true. Everywhere we go, there are really talented groups and organizations and people who are doing really wonderful things, creative, effective things. Obviously, we can't do everything, and so we've had to dial it in really specifically to the two direct programs that we're a private operating foundation, which means that we do both sides of this. We have programs that we grant funding to other organizations to carry out their mission, and we also have a mission of our own, which we fund directly. So yeah, it's been a really interesting process to find our own the appropriate limitations of what we can do now. As you say, very young, we're coming to the end of our second operating year. We're obviously we have a big fundraise like everyone coming at the end of the year. That's a very important thing for us. The opportunities are tremendous, and we do have to limit and say no sometimes. I have a hard time doing that, but yeah.
So, and to what Larry's saying, we're participating in Giving Tuesday. It's a national giving day, right? Everyone's pretty familiar with it. So if you go to Giving Tuesday and you go to the James Baker, it's a Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and if you go to the James Baker Hall website, you'll see an opportunity to give to our campaign. So in sort of in the background, as we've gone out with the foundation, we're continuing to build our community. We have a monthly newsletter that goes out now, the first of each month. We've built that up to about 1,000 people, which is amazing. But we've been last 2 years, we've been doing a lot of grassroots community outreach, and some individuals have had, I call them friendraisers in their homes, where they've just invited their friends who had the common interest in supporting Kentucky Riders. And so it's been amazing through those friend-raising events in individuals' homes. Someone always knew Jim. Someone had Jim as professor. They know so-and-so through Hyman Settlement School. It's just amazing that our Kentucky network is always, 2 degrees of separation in any given, and this is a perfect example. So we're looking for community partners too. We're looking for individuals who love to support Kentucky Riders, who even would want to host a fundraiser for us. We've had those in Lexington and Louisville. We're looking to do one in Northern Kentucky this year. But yeah, so behind the scenes, I guess you could say, we are raising money too.
There's obviously a limitation to the direct reach that we can have. So there, we've had to have very strong regional partners for these grant programs. It's really important that in Northern Kentucky and in Western Kentucky, Eastern as well. Eastern's Hyman Settlement School. One of the first things we did was a grant program with the Young Writers Program at Hyman that Melissa Helton runs. It's going beautifully, and we're in our second year of that, and we'll continue to do that. It's wonderful. It provides a basis for outreach into all areas of Eastern Kentucky, and now we have a second one that'll be announced very shortly in Morehead that Janine mentioned. And that'll kind of complete the Eastern Kentucky platform for us. But we have in both places really strong partners who have really strong outreach connections and programs running in these locations. In the case of Morehead, we're actually starting from scratch. Our board approved a program with the Rowan County Arts Center and the Bloodroot Writers Collective, which has been formed by Amy Leanne Richardson, who is the kind of the creative backbone of the Bloodroot idea. It will be a program modeled on the Young Writers Program at Hyman Settlement School. We'll meet monthly for young high school age writers primarily. We'll have all kinds of programs going for mentoring and other things, and then culminate in a week-long retreat camp during the summer, also like the Ironwood Writers Retreat in Hyndman. From the urge to write to publication to being a working artist, if that's what they want to do, there needs to be a clear path for them to follow. And that's what Hyndman has established. That's what we have established with the Book Award, and where the Bloodroot program that Amy Richardson is designing is also geared toward that end, that the young writers are mentored right through for deciding whether that's a life for them, you know, and if it is, then we've got all the support that they need.
You're in your second year. Do you start to notice cumulative effect of all these efforts?
I think that the cumulative effect that we've seen is a growing comfortability on the part of our partners, that they realize that we are sincere, we're for real, we're going to be around for the long term, and that what we're talking about is a sustainable and really supportive program for them. And that's, you know, everything that we do needs to be a win-win-win. I mean, everyone concerned has to get what they need out of it. And so that's, I would say that to the people that were, you know, the partners that we've identified and are dealing with. I mean, we're new to Kentucky arts. We're new to literary arts, right? I mean, my father was a writer. True, he was a professor for a long time. That's true. We get tremendous support from all his ex-students and his ex-student students, you know. But we are new to the game. And like any situation where there's a newcomer, there's a period of burn-in time when you assess, you know, what they're really about and what they're really doing. And so I hope that the impression that we've given to everyone is that James Baker Hall would committed his whole life to supporting advocacy for Kentucky arts and Kentucky writers in particular, and we're carrying on that tradition where if you're there, you're there, and you're there for the long term. So I think that's the cumulative effect that we see, and they're willing to invest in us as they get comfortable as well. So it's a progressive, iterative kind of a program, and that's the impact I think we've seen.
On your website, I saw Legacy Corner and what it's like to keep on meeting your dad's students and people who knew him.
It's tremendously gratifying, you know. I think because I didn't know most of these people. I never knew before I called them up on the phone and said, "You were a student, right?" And the thing that impresses me is that the immediacy of their love for my dad and the immediacy of his impact on them is still with them. You know, he was still an instrument that changed their lives, and you know, he believed that art was had a huge healing power, which we all know that it does. And he was dedicated to pursuing that, the truth and the clarity. It was all about clarity for my dad, you know, and that's what writing is trying to get to the truth, trying to get to a position of clarity about something. And that's a message that is not lost on the people who had contact with him. And that's the kind of, hopefully, some of the programs that we put together will allow mentors like my father to find mentees like the students that he had and have a similar kind of impact. To be able to change someone's life in that way is a gift, is a huge gift. And I hope that we can not only identify those gifts through contacting his ex-students and getting them involved, because there's no better testimonial than someone who was influenced by him in that way. So we love to get quotes. We love to get, you know, have the Legacy Corner where we interview and continue to engage these students. They love to be able to transmit this message on through us to young writers that are coming into their own now. You know, that they're valued just as my dad valued his students, and someone valued him in that way too, you know, in his life. So it's a continual process of passing the legacy on to the future generations. And I think that's the core of my desire is that the way Kentucky letters are today is the way Kentucky Letters will be in 100 years, that there's still a crop of artists that are at the top of their game, and the world knows it. That's what I want.
And we still continue the daunting task of trying to find all his former students. So so put a plug in for that, that if anyone's listening out there and they were one of Jim's students, please visit our James Baker Hall Foundation website and send us an email, and we'll add you to our list and keep you updated on what we're doing.
My dad taught at UK for 30 years, two semesters a year, classes of whatever, 10, 12, 15 students for every semester. That's a lot of students. And I know that they're all, they're out there, just they don't know what we're doing, but as we find each one of them, then they lead to another and another, and we just keep on going. The furthest one away at this point is in San Francisco. Is one of his old students is in San Francisco. We've been in touch with her, and she's going to be in Legacy Corner on our newsletter before too long. So always very grateful to hear from us, and very willing to contribute as they can to the work that we're doing. Every time I see their face and they realize who I am, just it's like the most amazing thing. People say that I look, my affectations are like his, and that I speak like he does. And when I'm at the podium, I raise, do all the kind of hand stuff that he did. I don't know about that, it's certainly gratifying to see a welcoming response in someone's face when they realize who you are, and that you bring back a really tender and a really wonderful memory for them. That's a beautiful thing.
And it doesn't hurt that you come with a wonderful message and generous heart and the desire to build.
Yes, we my father did he was an amazing guy. I've learning more and more about him as I go, and spending time with his work and with his written work and his photographic work. He was an extraordinary person. He really was just the embodiment of a working artist. I mean, that's what he did every day. That was his calling. That's what he believed he was put on this earth to do, and that's what he did to the exclusion of all kinds of other things,
We mentioned the James Baker Hall Book Award. Tell us about what it's for this year and what are future plans for that.
So we have the first James Baker Hall Book Award was for an emerging poet's poetry collection, and that was a tremendous success with our Wesley Haupt from Jessamine County. And we've been traveling around the state with Wesley on the Writers on the Road tour for the last several months, and that's been very well received everywhere we go, and really a tremendous experience for him and for us. The 2025 award will be announced at the book fair on November 1st in Lexington, and that is for a short story collection. And no emerging or for any anyone could apply. We got a tremendous number of submissions, and our judge was a woman, Toni Ann Johnson from Los Angeles, who is an extraordinary artist in several respects herself, specifically related to short fiction. She won her first book of short stories won the Flannery O'Connor Award. So that is enough credential to support her role as a judge in our contest. We haven't finally decided what the next year's book award will be for, what autobiographical memoir type work or others. We haven't quite decided that yet, but we will, and we're going to announce that at the time of the award for this year in at the book fair, around that time when Toni Ann is here. And so we'll announce next year's. The third year, I think, will be when people start to recognize that it's around and it's really of substance, because it's I would like it. We would like it to be a very high level, to reward excellence in Kentucky letters. That's what we want to do, and that's the component where we say that only the best are the best. right? We need literary output that's good enough to stand with that which has come before it, you know, that we want a really something that can compete for national awards, not just a local Kentucky award like ours, but that is good enough to be put up for national awards. And I think the interesting thing is the short story collection that we will award for 2025, we believe is of that caliber. And it's been the recommendation from Tony Ann that we consider a significant post-publication submission for other award or other national awards. And if we could do that, if one of a James Baker Hall award could receive a notable national award in our early years, I think that would do a tremendous amount of establishing our credibility and our visibility within the community to where the James Baker Hall Book Award would be a coveted award for a Kentucky writer as a step on the path toward larger and more nationally recognized award. So it's a very I hope it turns into be a vehicle of that kind of caliber. That's what we would want.
I think that's amazing vision. And what other exciting events and activities can we look forward to?
We have there are a couple of ways that we might enhance our program delivery in 2026. We're trying to design a fairly substantial summer program that might involve some of the films and photography that my dad did, as well as other artists who have produced work related to his photography and filmmaking. I would love to get to a point where we could talk about a Kentucky Writers Conference. You know, I think that that's something that's missing in the state here now. It's not clear to me completely how we would get there yet. It's a really big topic. We're talking with several people around the state who know about such things. I don't see a Kentucky Writers Conference in Kentucky anymore. I mean, there used to be, it's an important aspect of the community building to have a time and a place where anybody and everybody could come, you know, and be with their peers, be with their colleagues, because that's when the real synergies and the associations come that allow people to continue to produce at such a high level. I mean, we see it in the Appalachian Writers Workshop. You know, that's for Appalachian writers, that's where they go. Everyone goes there, and that's the beautiful thing that Hyman Settlement School has done over the last 50 years is to bring that conference to such a level that everyone wants to go. You know, I think that if we could aim toward that on a statewide basis, even something that moved around that a writer's conference on the road, you know, that from place to place. One of the big obstacles that we want to try and address in Kentucky is the silo effect of, you know, having, you know, what happens in Lexington only happens in Fayette County. What's in Louisville is only in Louisville. Paducah and Owensboro and Murray, they're like so far away, they might as well be Missouri. You know, it's we want to try and get over that, you know, and to have a Kentucky Writers Conference, I think would be a worthy goal for us to aim toward.
Janine, what has it been like for you to be such a vital part of this organization?
Oh, good.
Oh boy.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, you know, well, for Larry and I, since we are married now, it's been a journey of something we both love. I've come to love writing and learning about his father and the history. And so it's been, I guess you could say, that coined that phrase, a labor of love that we've been able to do together, and enjoy for the most part as a couple. And it's just, I think anytime you start something like this, it's really hard, but it's really gratifying. So I'm really pleased that I have been able to use my background in development fundraising. I've worked in nonprofits my entire life to use my skills to to contribute to something like this that builds up so many people that are so talented.
I mean, it's amazing to me. You never met him, right, Janine? You never met,
No, I haven't.
okay,
I
Jim.
haven't. And I'm the
And
same way. I've seen, as I've watched film of his dad and Jim and interviews and everything. So knowing Larry first and then watching his dad through, it's just like, wow. There's so many similarities there between the two of them. All good.
one of our colleagues, Jane White, is the one who does produces the newsletter and does those interviews, the Legacy Corner interviews. And she commented in our staff meeting a couple of weeks ago. She says, I'm doing these interviews and I just keep seeing time and time again. So she's talking about people who knew my dad intimately 20 years ago or 15 years ago, right? She says, I come to these points where, and they describe him, and I just say, that's Larry. That's Larry. And good and bad, I guess, but it's a little bit of like a fishbowl I'm in. I'm glad Janine just commented on the positive side of things.
And as a couple, you'll never run out of things to talk about.
That's very
Oh,
true.
yeah, we have to
That's
limit
very
it.
true. That's very true.
And so I say that part of this is, I've never felt like I was meant to do anything before this. I've done a lot of things in my professional life and otherwise, but I've never felt like it was the thing that I was meant to do. And this, however, does feel like the thing I was meant to do. So, I've been, call it my passion. That's kind of an overused word, but it is, it's just taken a hold of me. I just have to, try and control it enough to stay within the bounds of what's possible to do. 'Cause there's so many cool things that we could do. If I had enough money, there's a lot of things I could do. So we're up against the funding thing. Like everyone in the nonprofit, everyone now is, it's a kind of a brave new world situation. We're really going to have to find a way forward, in the new economic environment that nonprofits find themselves in these days, where our funding organizations they've been stripped of a lot of federal funding, at least for the time being. So everyone has to figure out a new way, and we're us included.
And everybody who listens to this podcast, this dynamic duo, Larry and Janine, they are dedicated. Their heart is in the right place. And I have no doubts about their commitment and also their ability to execute on their vision. I mean, I guess the word that comes to mind, I would say, I feel privileged for
Oh.
the opportunity to work with them and to call them my friends and to see what the James Baker Hall Foundation has been able to accomplish. And I have faith that that will continue to evolve. And my last question is for Larry, what would your dad think of the work of the foundation?
Oh, I say often, he's sitting where he's right there. I mean, I live with him. He's like he's a living thing in my environment. Yeah, I listen to his voice recorded. I'm around his pictures all the time, and I'm reading his work again for the, in a different kind of way. And so his life is very alive in my life right now. And I think the people who knew him best tell me that he would be just overjoyed that someone has found a way to make his life and his work carry on in for future artists in Kentucky. That would be the best thing that he could have imagined. His wife, Marianne Taylor Hall, my stepmother, has told me that many, many times. And others have said that as well, that it's a privilege. I didn't expect it this, but it's a real privilege to be able to have the opportunity to do this and to fulfill a hole in my own life that I didn't get a chance to spend much time with him as circumstances unfolded. I also just before we end, I want to say that it's we couldn't have done much of this without you, Katerina, and Accents Publishing and the guidance that you've brought to us over these many months, and look forward to continuing to learn from you as we go forward. But I would be it would be a shame not to mention that there's the critical you're one of the critical factors to our success as well. So
Yes.
yes, thank you so much for your friendship and support, and just yeah, you're an amazing person.
Thank you both.
And don't edit that out.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't.